up a new dynamic of God to you. And if you weren't here, we talked about the first week that the Holy Spirit, He is a person, and He is a person that has that's a promise from the Father, a promise. And that's a promise from a Father who loves us. Then the next week, we actually talked about the person of the Holy Spirit and that He is a He to have a relationship with. And this week, we're going to go a little bit deeper into the idea of that the power of the Holy Spirit is for us today. And it's really my hope in the midst of all of this is that you would just begin to burn and hunger and desire more of God in your life. I'm not trying to push you or prod you. In fact, Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit gently works inside of us, so I'm not going to push you or prod you. But I do want to do is just to kind of rally your heart to the idea that there's so much more of God than maybe that we're experiencing today. And I'm just so thankful for that. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful there is more of God. I'm thankful that we haven't reached the end yet. What a sad life it would be if this was all there was. Amen. And so there is really more of God, and there's more of His power and His work inside of us and through us to experience. We have not seen the best yet. I honestly believe that. In fact, I really just want to give a word of encouragement right now to some of you, because some of you have given up on yourselves. You really have. I just felt like that when I was praying. I pray over every chair before the service starts, and as I was praying, I just felt like the Lord that somebody was going to sit in one of these chairs, that you have just absolutely given up on yourself. You've given up on yourself. But let me tell you what the Lord says. Even though you have given up on yourself, God has not given up on you. And just because you have given up on yourself doesn't mean that God has given up on you. And so He has so much more for you. He has so much more for you. And we all experience those times where we come to the end of ourselves. We come to our limits. We miss it. In fact, talking about moms, I was with my mom yesterday, and we were talking about my first year, my freshman year in college. I went to Lee College in Tennessee years ago now, and it was my freshman year, and I remember the day when my parents dropped me off. It was 5 hours trip away from my home, and it was like total freedom for me. It was total anxiety for my parents. You know what I'm talking about? And so I remember that day well, and they got my luggage in there, and my mom, you know, she was kind of hanging around, you got this, you got that, are you sad, are you okay? And I was like, Mom, I'm fine, leave, go home, you know, let the ego get out of the nest, and, you know, and let him fly. And so my mom left, and they left, and I was going to my luggage, and I finally found an envelope that says, open in case of emergency. And I was like, what is this? What has my mom done? And I opened up the envelope, and it was a little card in there, just an encouraging card that said, hey, when you spent all your money, here's $50 to get back home. And I was like, I am not going to need this. I was determined that I was not going to blow all my money that had been given to me to make it through the few weeks until the next little break that we had. I wasn't going to do it. I'm on my own. I'm independent man. I don't need this. So I put the card aside and forgot about it. But sure enough, life of a freshman is a lot of a learning experience. And I come out to where I actually blew all my money a lot sooner than I thought I would. And little did I know that there were beautiful women up there at college, and you wanted to, you know what I'm talking about. So, you know, just take them out and stuff like that. And so, sure enough, I needed that card that said open in case of emergency, and I took that $50, and I gritted my teeth and I humbled myself, and I drove back home. And this was before you had cell phones, by the way. And so I got back in the car, and I told my mom after I found a pay phone, and I called and said, hey, I'm on my way home. And she's like, oh, why are you coming home? Well, I just love you. I just love you, and I just missed you, Mom. And But she knew best. I got home. I'd spent the last $50, put gas in my car, and give me food to get back home. And I got back home, and I needed more help. Why? Because moms know, do I have an amen? Moms, you know that your kids sometimes just need some help, right? They just do. And I'm so thankful for moms for that. But I wonder if Christ ever felt that way. Have you ever wondered that with his disciples? I mean, these are disciples that he walked with for 3+ years. He poured into, he had helped. He had even helped feed when they ran out of food. He helped encourage and strengthen them. And here he was about to face death. He knew that he was going to face death on the cross and then resurrect, but he would go away. And he knew, it's like, maybe I might need to give them something to open in case of an emergency. Maybe I might need to give them something because I know that they're going to run out. They're going to miss out. They're not going to have enough. And I believe Christ felt like that because in the last part of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, 15, and 16, he speaks over and over again in the upper room, Last Supper experience that Jesus had with his disciples about the Holy Spirit. He knew that he was going away, and here's his little ducks, his little sheep. They were going to be in deep trouble if he didn't give them someone else to help them and encourage them, someone to help take care of them. In fact, you've heard me talk about my experience as a hospice chaplain a lot. I remember talking to some of the patients and how they wanted to make sure that their loved ones were taken care of after they were to die, right? Well, think about it for a second. I know this is kind of a little bit morbid, but just go with me. Moms, if you know that you are close to your death and you have young children, what is one of the things that you would make sure that you would do before you died? You would make sure that they were taken care of, wouldn't you? They needed somebody to help them, somebody to encourage them, somebody to protect them, somebody to guard them, somebody to lead them, somebody to provide for them. Now you, being a good mother, think about how much more our good Father is to us. He knew that we needed help. He knew that we would be like lost sheep, each of us turning our own way. He knew that we would be just like sheep thrown out in the midst of wolves. We needed help. We needed encouragement. We needed power. That's why he spoke so often of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's why Paul and others spoke so much of the Holy Spirit. This is why we speak about this verse in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 through 20. Paul says, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Now think about it for a moment. If we could step into that tomb the day that Jesus was placed there after his death on the cross, and if we could go in there and see his earthly body, we would pick up his hands. And we would let go, and it would drop. We could peel back his eyelids and look to see if there was life in his eyes, and there would be no life in his eyes. We would bend down and listen to his chest, or see if we could feel any breath coming out of his mouth. Listen to me, there would be none. Not just a little. None. There was no life in his body. The resurrection wasn't that God needed to help Jesus out a little bit. It wasn't that Jesus had a little bit of life left in him and he just needed a little bit more. Jesus was dead, amen? And I know this isn't Resurrection Sunday, but just follow me, I'm going somewhere. Because this same power that rose a lifeless Christ from the dead is now given to us as a promise through the Holy Spirit. Now, why do I say that? Because we're dead. There is no hope for us. We're like the college student that's been sent off to college and there is no resources, there is no hope, there's no possibility we're to ever make it on our own. There's none. And I say, wait a minute. Pastor. I'm my own man, I'm my own woman, I'm doing pretty good on my own. Are we really? Are we? Is there anything good coming out of us? Is there any life really coming from us? And I'm not talking about a physical life. I'm talking about an inward life. Is there any type of life coming out of us? I know there's occasionally times that we'll do good in our lives, but do we do that on a consistent basis that we know we should? Forget about what the preacher says we should do. What about you? What the things that you know you should do? The things that you know you should stop doing. The things that you know you should start doing and you just don't do. Do any of us accomplish that as we should? No. I've been sitting and contemplating and just praying about this whole idea of free will a lot. Just recently, I don't know why, it's just kind of God's leading me to this. There's probably going to come a sermon series out of it, by the way, so just get ready. But I just, you know, this idea of free will, it's like, okay, you know, I'm free to do good, but why do I do bad? I don't choose to do the right things a lot, and I know what Paul meant in Romans chapter 7, the things that I want to do, I don't end up doing the things that I know I shouldn't be doing, I end up doing those things, and the idea, I just kind of pushed back from where I was at, and I was praying, and I was like, is there really free will? Because I know I should be doing it, but I don't do it. Now, I won't answer that question yet. That's for later contemplation. But let me just honestly be honest with you, okay? Are any of us able to do the good that we even want to do? Think about that for a second. I know some of you are sitting in this room and you've got a lot of regrets and you're like, you know what, I really want to change today. You've even said that. I felt like you were saying it when you were walking into this church, walking from the parking lot in here, like, okay, today I'm going to do better. Or maybe every Monday, you know what, today I'm going to start my diet today. You know, today I'm going to do the right thing today. But how many times do we fail at that, right? How many times? Now I know what Paul meant. There's a struggle there. You know, forget about the things that we actually do. You know, Scripture even talks about the things that we even think about. You remember Jesus when he says, you know, it's not just committing the physical act of adultery, but if you look at a woman and you think lustful thoughts, you've committed adultery with her. Women, out of the way for a second. Guys, that's rough. That's rough. You're like, okay. It's not just the actual things that I do. What about my imagination? What about my imagination? And think about how this world is getting more and more wicked. You know why? Because men are left to their imaginations, and we're thinking up of more evil and more evil things to do, aren't we? Man, what am I saying? We're dead. We're lost. That's why Jesus was so adamant about, I got to give them an open in case of emergency card. I've got to give them something to help them because they're lifeless. They can't make it. They can't make it. You're going to say, well, I try to do good things. Well, Scripture even says in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says there's going to be people who even try to do good things who will come to me and say, oh, Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I even help the poor in your name? And Jesus is going to speak back out and says, depart from me. I never knew you. We are weak, we are hopeless, we are lifeless at even coming to Him in our own strength. Amen? We need help. Here's the conclusion to this praying and meditating that I had the other day. Weakness is unavoidable. It's unavoidable. I mean, we try so much not to be weak. I go to the gym, I work out so I won't get weak. I know I'm getting older, but body is falling apart, but I'm trying to keep that from happening as much as possible. But it's unavoidable, isn't it? We try to pad our coffers and make sure that in case of a rainy day, we're okay, and there's nothing wrong with that. But eventually, all the money runs out. And we try to get all the friends we can. We try to make sure we're safe as possible. We live in some of the most safest cars that you could even drive in today's society, but yet there's wrecks, there's death. What am I saying? Weakness is unavoidable, isn't it? It's unavoidable. Here's the other conclusion that the Lord led me to. But power is avoidable. Power is avoidable. Weakness is unavoidable. We all face it, but power is avoidable. See, you can miss the very gift that God has promised you, and that's abundant life, by not receiving the person of the Holy Spirit. You can miss it. In Acts chapter 1, Luke records this, and this I believe is like a mom standing there with a freshman student as she's about to leave. I kind of hear that in Jesus' words here. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3 and 5, he says, after his suffering, after Christ's suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say in verse 8, but you shall receive power. The Amplified Version says ability, efficiency, might. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God's promise for us was to never try to do this life on our own. It's to do it through the help and the person of the Holy Spirit. He has promised so much more than just that opening in case of an emergency card. He has promised life and life more abundantly. The question is, why aren't we experiencing that? We're not experiencing that because weakness is unavoidable. Everybody's going to experience it. The high, the low, the righteous, the unrighteous. Everybody's going to experience weakness. But power is avoidable. And there's many people in the church that's avoiding the power, the promise that God has given us. Aren't we? We're avoiding him. It leads me to a thought. Jesus specifically mentioned, wait for the gift my Father has promised. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, I know, wait a minute. Now you're kind of going a little bit weirder than I thought you was going to go, preacher. What is this whole baptism of the Holy Spirit? See, it's a common word of the day. It just means to be immersed or to put in, completely submerged, put into. For John baptized with water, but in many days from now you'll be baptized, placed in, introduced into the Holy Spirit. He intended for you to be put into his Spirit. Why? Because left out, you would be completely weak, completely hopeless. He intended to do that. He intended to place you into his Holy Spirit. What a precious, awesome promise that is. What an amazing promise that is. Well, what is that? What is that? Let me just teach you for a moment. I'm sorry this is a little bit more teaching heavy, but I really need you to grab hold of this. The Bible mentions specifically three baptisms, okay? The first one is a salvation baptism. One verse, there's many verses pertaining to this. One verse about this is Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith. Say, through faith. There's a faith baptism. It's the baptism of faith and salvation. Baptized in, through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. How many of you guys are thankful that it just takes faith to get saved? Amen? It just takes faith. You're put into Christ through a baptism of faith. Of faith. Believing. Believing. And you will go to heaven if you've experienced this baptism. Listen to me. This is the only baptism that you have to make it into heaven. And why do I believe God's kept this separate? Because he intended for nothing else to be added to this because it's by grace and grace alone that we're saved. Amen? So all what Jesus did is us believing and having faith and believing in him. So it's a salvation baptism. The second one is a water baptism. In fact, Jesus tells us to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's specifically mentioning the water baptism. That's why we have water baptisms here. It's to be placed in water to signify that we've taken the first baptism, that we're saved, that we're his. I like to compare it to a wedding ring. You know, this wedding ring doesn't make me married. It tells everybody I'm married. Amen? Right. That's why I wear it, because I'm taken. And that's why we get baptized. We're telling the whole world, I'm his and he's mine. And we're making that public statement. Public, by the way, very public. We're declaring with our actions, our life, we're his. We're here. So that's why we make a big deal about baptisms here. And if you would like to get baptized, many of you had made some great decisions over Easter in the last few weeks. And you know, you need to put the ring on the finger. You know what I'm talking about. You need to tell the whole world, I'm his and he's mine. I want you to do that. Maybe you've done that in the past and you knew it didn't really mean something then, but you want it to mean something now. I want you to let me know. Fill it out on those connection cards. Turn it in so we can help you take that step. So there's a salvation baptism. There's a water baptism. But listen to me. That's not it. Don't avoid the third one. There is a spiritual baptism. In Acts chapter 8, here's an example of this. Philip, let me just set it up. Philip's traveling the region. He's witnessing. He's sharing. He's starting churches. He's preaching. People are getting saved. His miraculous works are going on. A group of people get saved, and they come to the Lord. They're even baptized in water. We'll see that. But they knew, the church knew of that day, that they needed to experience the third baptism. In Acts chapter 8, verse 14, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John, they sent the big boys down there, to them when they arrived. They prayed for them that they might receive what? The Holy Spirit. They had already accepted the gospel, gotten saved. And they prayed that they would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, they simply had been baptized, water baptized, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? Very clearly in scriptures. Well, preacher, that ain't for today. I can't argue with what the Bible says. I'm sorry. And how many guys just want this place to be a biblical church? Amen? We try our best, guys. Listen to me, the overseers here, we try our best to stay really grounded and really centered in God's word here because we want to walk in the truth. We want to walk in the truth here. And God has a third baptism for you, and you need it. Why? Because weakness is unavoidable, but stop avoiding his power. Stop avoiding it. Stop avoiding it. And God has a promise for you. Well, why? Why is there a Holy Spirit baptism? Why didn't we just get... The Spirit of God when we got saved. Why didn't we just get a one-time package? Let me tell you specifically why. Because I believe that God wanted to make sure that Jesus Christ and Him alone got the glory for salvation. That's why. And I just really felt like He didn't want us to do what we're doing today, having a spiritual hierarchy system. You know what I'm talking about? Well, we got the Spirit and you don't, and we're the first-class citizens and you're the second-class citizen. God isn't about that, by the way. God isn't about that. And He wanted to make the biggest thing, the most important thing, stand alone by itself by grace. Amen? But He knew that we would be powerless. He knew we'd be weak. He knew that we needed strength to walk out this life. So He gave us the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What am I saying? Weakness is unavoidable. Power is avoidable. Peter says it this way. I believe he's specifically talking about the Holy Spirit. If you read the whole book of 1 Peter, he says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Say all things. Through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises. Remember what Jesus said? Wait for the promise. So that through them you may become partakers of what? Divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that this is in this world because of its sinful natures. What is Peter saying? Weakness is unavoidable. But listen to me. Don't avoid God's power. He's telling us you need divine power to participate in divine nature. Isn't that true? And some of you have been beating yourself up. You've been struggling to walk out this idea of Christianity. In fact, you've given up on it because you're like, there's no way I could live this way. They want me to even stop thinking the things that I'm thinking. Are you kidding me, preacher? Have you been to the mall lately? Yes, I have. And that's why I'm saying you better walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Say, are you not weak? I'm the weakest man you could ever see. I'm the chief of sinners. But greater is He that is in me. See, He that is in the world. You've got to have divine power to participate in divine nature. So stop trying to live divine nature without divine power. Stop trying. And this promise is for you. If you read on in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit of God is poured out and a crowd assembles and like, what's going on? What happened? And Peter's message back to this crowd, he specifically that says, in the last days, God said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy and your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit even on my servants, men and women alike. They will all prophesy and I will cause wonders in heavens and above and signs on the earth below. You know what a wonder is? Something that makes you go, well, I wonder what that was. God is in the business of doing things like that because we need divine power to experience divine nature. He's not going to call you to do something and not give you the power to walk it out. But we've accepted a call to live this life like Christ, but we've forgotten to accept His promise. Amen? And so I just want to spend a moment to tell you my testimony. And some of you have heard it, some of you haven't. I don't think any of you have heard all of it like this. See, several years ago when I was 17 years old, I prided myself of being the strong guy, independent, by myself. I don't need nobody. I prided myself with that. I played football in high school. I thought I had it all together. I thought there was even a possibility that I could get a scholarship into college. It was all set up for me. It was okay. I knew that God was dealing in my heart because God, my parents, my mother, had kept me in church. Moms keep your children in church. Amen. And God was dealing with my heart, but I wouldn't listen to him. I refused to listen to God because I thought Christianity was for weak people. Little did I know I was weak. It is for weak people. And I didn't know I was weak, and that's a rough place to be in. Because I thought I had it all together. Thought my life was going the way I should. I remember going to a church service. My mom, she got me there. And the evangelist that day pointed his finger right back at me. I was sitting on the back row back there, and I was chewing bubble gum, and I was just kind of dazed and confused. He pointed his finger right back at me, and he got my attention. And he said, "Son, stop running away from God. God's got a call on your life." I said, "That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous." I literally snickered and laughed at the man of God. I went home, forgot about it. Not too long later, I was out with some of my friends, was out drinking in a little ravine. There was a little thing we all challenged ourselves to climb up this wall. I don't know what convinced me that a 260-pound lineman can climb a rock wall. But I thought, hey, they're going to do it, I'm going to do it too. I started climbing this rock wall. And I was a little intoxicated, and I slipped, and I fell. My back hit flat on the ground. I had crushed 2 vertebrae in my lower back. Everything from here down got completely numb. I thought, I'm paralyzed. I couldn't move nothing. After a while of trying to just catch my breath, see where I'm at, my friends freaking out. They went and called the ambulance. Feeling started to come back into my fingertips and my toes, and they eventually got me out of there and took me to the hospital, did x-rays, and a doctor came in and said, "Gress, you've crushed 2 vertebrae in your back. You got some bone fragments that we're probably going to have to go in and do surgery, or they may cut in on your spinal cord, and we really don't know what's going to happen to you." I remember those words. "We really don't know what's going to happen," meaning that he didn't know if I was going to be able to walk like I'd been walking and have the life that I'd been living. And it was at that moment that I had run so far from God that I was so stubborn, God literally let my back break to get my attention. Amen? In that hospital room, all the years of God's teaching that my mom made me go to church to hear kept flooding back in my mind and my heart. And I knew God was dealing with my life. I knew he was. And for the first time that I could remember, I cried. I cried at my own weakness and his love for a weak person like me. I said, "Lord, if you're real, I want whatever you got. Please forgive me for running away from you. Please forgive me. Cleanse me. I accept you, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior." And literally, I shouted out with everything inside of me, "God, whatever you have for me, I want it." And it was at that moment, something else entered into that room with me. Someone else. The power of God hit my life in such an incredible way that I knew it was God. And I said, "Oh God, I know this is you. I know this is you. What are you wanting to do? What do you have for me? What do you have for me?" You see, when you're at your weakness, you'll take whatever you can, won't you? And I cried out, "God, whatever you have for me." And it was at that moment that I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Nobody was praying for me. Nobody was doing anything for me. I had been taught about it just like you guys are being taught about today, but I had laughed about it and snickered it off. But God fell on me, and I began to pray in the Spirit. Something happened. I said, "This is the weirdest thing, but I love it. I love what God is doing. I love what he's doing in me." And afterwards, I said, "I wonder what that was." 2 weeks later, they discharged me from the hospital, and they came back, and they wanted to do another x-ray to see what's all going on after the swelling had gone down some. And they x-rayed my back again 2 weeks later, and the doctor, I'll never forget his face. It was me and my mom in the room, and the other doctor, he walked in, he stuck the x-ray up on the lighted board there, and he said, "This is your bat 2 weeks ago. You see the little bone fragment? See, this was your crust back here. This is your bat today. It is completely hard and calloused up." Amen. Come on, give God praise. That's the supernatural life, divine nature that God has promised us. That's it. That's it. From that day on, I said, "God, I don't know what plan you have for me, but here I am. Here I am." And can I tell you what? I'll never regret any day of it, because years after that experience, I was preaching at a youth revival at the First Assembly of God right here in Tallahassee. I was preaching a youth revival. I'd been asked to speak. I was a college student. I'd been asked to speak at this youth revival, and I was speaking at the youth revival. God was moving, and the first time I had an open vision of what God was doing, and God said, "I'm calling you to this city." I didn't know what Tallahassee was. The only thing that I knew of Tallahassee is that it had a McDonald's in it. That's the only thing I saw of it, Tallahassee. I didn't even know Tallahassee was on the map. And I said, "God, that's crazy, but if you're calling me to, you're going to have to make it happen." I didn't know Jennifer. I didn't know anybody from this area. Not long after that, I was finishing out some college classes at AUM, and God set it up to one of her friends invited me to a Bible study. And I told her no at first. I'm not going to. I don't want to go to that. I got things going on. But God said, "You need to go." The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that now was living in me, says, "You need to go." Little did I know, he was sending me to a Bible study to meet my wife. What am I saying? You need divine power to live this divine nature. You need it. You need it in your life. You need it. We need the divine power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we're too weak to find God's purpose, God's plan, and live out God's power for us. Because God tells us it's not by force nor by strength, but by His Spirit. By His Spirit. By His Spirit. So here's what I want you to do quickly in closing. If you want this morning, I want you to remove all barriers. And some of you have barriers behind barriers. Some of you have walls so thick that it would make like Fort Knox look like a toy. I know that. I did too. I was so mad at God when I was a teenager. I was so sick of what I had seen about the Holy Spirit, and it was hypocrisy. I didn't want, that's the last thing I wanted. But you got to get those barriers down. Listen to me. Don't wait until you have an issue like God had allowed my back to be broken before those barriers are broke down. Get open to what God wants to do. Some of you have misconceived notions about the Holy Spirit. I love my wife's testimony. She came from a church that actually said that the Holy Spirit is actually, those gifts of the Holy Spirit, the working of the Holy Spirit, are probably demonic. You're talking about barriers. And she said, "You know what, I want to go find out that for myself." And so she went home and she prayed. She got in God's Word, and by herself on her back porch, God filled her with His Holy Spirit. You just got to be willing. You got to be honest. You got to be open to what God wants in your life. You got to remove all barriers. Paul preached in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, when he was speaking about this issue of baptism of the Holy Spirit. People had seen what had just happened. Peter's replied, "Repent and be baptized in water." That's the first baptism. Then second baptism. "Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Listen to me. This promise is for you. Say me. And my children. Moms. This promise is for me and my children. Amen? And all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Is that for me? It's for you. It's for you. It's for you. Remove the barriers. Repent. If you've got issues going in your life, you've got things that you're not willing to let go, you've got to get to the place. Don't make it be a hospital bed, but you need to make it a place where you say, "God, I'll be willing to let go of everything to find your way." Remove the barriers. Remove the barriers. Number two. By the way, this is the Holy Ghost two-step. I'm kidding. That was supposed to make you laugh. Bad joke, right? Number one. Number two. You got to receive Him by faith. Anything that God has for you is going to take a step of faith. Anything. For the righteous live by faith. By faith. Are you always going to have it all figured out? No. It's going to be a place where it just all makes sense. It's just all nice and pretty. I'd love to tell you that, but not. It's not going to be. You're going to have to take a step of faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Everything in your spiritual journey is going to take a step of faith. Everything. Let me give you this example. The prophet Ezekiel saw the Spirit of God like a river. And he says in verse 3 of chapter 47, as a man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, and then he led me through the water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 more, and he led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000. By now, it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen, and I was deep enough to swim in a river that no one could cross. What am I saying? Guys, I've been trying to get you in just a little bit at a time. But for some of you, you're about to lose touch with the bottom of the pool. It's going to be your choice to go deeper or not. In the next few weeks, we're going to get a lot deeper. But this Sunday is pivotal. This Sunday is the decision you're going to have to make. Am I going to go in by faith, or am I going to stay back over here? Where even though it's comfortable, it's full of weakness. It's full of weakness. How about you? Weakness is unavoidable. Power is avoidable. My prayer for you, Ephesians chapter 1. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. That's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for you. Would you bow your heads with me? Somebody here this morning.